The gospel we read today was probably written 60 years after the death of Jesus. And so it was written to people pretty much who did not know Jesus personally. You know, but those have pretty much had died off. I think John was probably the last of the apostles to die. And so the thing is that in our first word, John says very importantly, on the evening of the first day of the week. Now, you know, we listen to that, we hear that. We say, well, okay, it means Sunday. But the thing is, it means more than that. It goes back to the book of Genesis, to the first day of the week when God began creation. And the thing is, in Jewish tradition, and even in our tradition, the thing is that day begins not at sunrise, but at sunset. It goes from sunset to sunset. That is why, you know, in our Catholic tradition, is that we're able to have Sunday Mass on Saturday, or celebrate Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock on, you know, we can celebrate Christmas Day or Christmas Mass at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And the thing is, it sort of reminds us that what John is saying is that on the first day God began his creation, the creation of the world. As Jesus comes and says on this first day, the saying is that there is a new creation, that there is a new way of the world. The world has sort of been reborn again in the eyes of Jesus. And we, his followers and the apostles, are sort of called to carry on that mission. And so as Jesus, when he was baptized by John and began his public ministry, the Spirit descended upon him, and God said, "This is my beloved Son." And with the gift of the Spirit, he began his ministry. And so Jesus now gives the gift of the Spirit to his disciples. As the Father has given the Spirit to me, so now I give the Spirit to you. So that it is up to them, and not only to them, to all of us who believe, to carry on the work and the mission of Jesus. And so we ask, what is the work and the mission of Jesus? And the easy answer is to say, well, it's love. To love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. But it's love shown out in a very special way. In mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. Today is also Divine Mercy Sunday because the emphasis is on mercy. A mercy shown in our daily life, in our compassion towards the less fortunate, towards others, in our forgiveness of those who sin against us, and our willingness to love even the less fortunate and those who cannot love us. For this is a way. And you know, sometimes, you know, when we think of mercy, we think of pity. When someone pleads out, you know, have mercy on me. You sort of think, well, he's saying, have pity on me. Sort of overlook or forgive all the wrong that I have done. And sort of that's part of the whole thing of mercy. But mercy is more of a positive thing. Mercy is bringing the love and the grace of God to the world and to the situations that we find ourselves in. It's sort of making them whole in the love and the light of God. And so they become very important. To go out and to teach and to preach and to forgive. And the thing is that when Jesus appears to his apostles, you know, he's got every human right to be sort of very upset with them. I mean, these were the followers, the guys who've been with him for the last 3 years, who he's been teaching. And yet, you know, when it came time for him to be put to the test, you know, they failed miserably. They ran and they hid and they locked themselves in the room because they were afraid the Jews were going to come and do the same thing to him. To do the same thing to them that they did to Jesus. And yet Jesus doesn't say to them, you know, why did you do that? Yeah, I've been teaching you. Didn't you believe in me? Didn't you know? He doesn't, in one word, condemn them. Yell at them. Criticize them. It's sort of almost like it didn't happen at all. His words are, peace be with you. Not only once, but twice. And then there was Thomas. A couple of weeks ago, we heard the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And remember, at the end of after he is risen from the dead, Jesus says, "Well, to his disciples, it's time to go to Jerusalem." And it's Thomas who basically says to Jesus, "We can't go there. They want to put you to death." But Jesus tells Thomas, you know, I got to go. I need to go. So Thomas says to him, well, then we'll go with you. And if we have to, we will die with you. Great words. And yet, you know, here is Thomas. And when it came time, like the other apostles, he ran, hid, locked himself into this room. And the thing was, as part of that was because, you know, that Thomas had put so much faith and so much hope and so much trust in this new Jesus, this new Messiah. I mean, he really believed in him. He really wanted to follow him. But yet, when the metal hit the road, he failed. And so because of that, you know, sort of in this anger of, you know, everything didn't go the way it was supposed to. His disappointment is sort of being crushed because, you know, of what happened. He sort of had a despair. And so when the apostles tell him, we have seen the risen Lord, he says, I followed that road once before. I believed. I thought he was going to be the new Messiah. That he was going to be above what he suffered. And look what happened. He was crucified. He was killed. He's just mortal, just like the rest of us. I'm not going to believe until I have proof. Till I see him. Till I can put my fingers and my hands into his wounds. And so when Jesus comes, and Thomas is there, again, do we hear one word of condemnation from Jesus? Do we hear one word of him sitting there saying is, Thomas, you know, why didn't you believe? Why didn't you have faith? Why didn't you trust in my word? Why didn't you trust in all that I've been teaching you for the last 3 years? Why did you run? And why did you not believe in the women and the disciples who told you that, yes, I was alive. I told you I was going to rise again. But you cannot believe. And you know, there's nothing in the gospel that says that Thomas ever did put his hands into his side or put his fingers into the wounds of his hands. But he said, I believe. But see, that's very important because the idea was is that it was important because, you know, it was for those that John was talking about, who had never seen Jesus, whose basically faith, like our faith and our belief, is based upon never have seen Jesus in the physical, in the body. But our faith depends upon the actions and the faith of others. The faith and the actions of the apostles that after Pentecost, that they go out and do they preach and they teach. And they show the mercy and the love of God through forgiveness, through compassion, through healing, like Jesus. When Jesus saw someone who was sick, he healed them. When he saw someone who was lame, he helped them walk. When he saw someone who was hungry, he gave them food. And so did the apostles in their ministry. And so too, we, very much like Thomas, like the message, who need to believe not because we have seen Jesus in person, but because we have seen him in the Eucharist, and in the faith, and in the scriptures, and in the love of others, and in the compassion of working of others. And how so very important is that in our own life? Because, if we fail to forgive, if we fail to have compassion, if we fail to love even those who cannot love us, somehow we are missing the message. That point was driven home to Bobby and I very much so yesterday. We went to the funeral of our sister-in-law's sister up in Toledo. And Bobby's brother, Jeff, came in from Wisconsin. And he was here because his father-in-law has been diagnosed with cancer. And Jeff has came down to sort of take him to Cleveland Clinic and to Columbus to different doctor's appointments. Because he's dealing with cancer and the aftermath. And the wife just sort of isn't steady enough to do that. So they asked Jeff and he came down. And yesterday as we were talking about it, somebody said, well, why doesn't Darren, his son, help him out? And we come to find out that Darren and his wife and Tom and Jeff's mother-in-law sort of had a falling out a couple years ago. And because of that, they're not on speaking terms. So much as that we asked, does Darren know that his father has cancer? Has anyone told him? And he said no. Because his mother doesn't want him to know. Now these are both supposedly very Christian, very Christ-like people. And yet even with talking about with Jeff, we can see the hardship and the pain that is causing them. The very good chances that, someday that Tom is going to die, and Darren will have not been able to reestablish a relationship with him, to find forgiveness, to be forgiven, to forgive. And you can imagine what that's going to be like for the rest of his life and the rest of their life. And not only that, but for Jeff and his wife. You could just tell it was great pain when Jeff talked about this. It was causing hardship for the lack of forgiveness, not of him, but of somebody he loves, his family members, his father-in-law, his brother-in-law. And see, that's what happens. When we sit there and we truly walk in mercy and compassion and love, God takes over and fills our life and blesses it, even in the midst of hardship and difficulty. But when we refuse to do that, that our life is set there and stunted by harm, pain, and not the way of the Lord. And so as we sort of close, maybe it's time to think, is there anyone in our life that needs our forgiveness? Is there anyone that we think that they need to ask forgiveness from us? And are we allowing that to drive us between our role as God's followers, as God's purveyors of mercy, of compassion and forgiveness and doing His will. As we think and reflect, we pray. We pray for Tom and for Darren. We pray for ourselves, especially for anyone that needs our forgiveness, for anyone that we want to be forgiven from, for the power and the strength of God to do that, so that we may truly know the way of the Lord completely, feel His complete love and compassion, and walk in His way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.